There's some songs I just wish had about 20 verses, and that's one of them. Powerful. Our God, He is alive. Some of us remember back in the late 60s and early 70s, the theme was, God is dead. And the answer was, your God may be, but ours is still alive.
Amen.
And I don't know if that came into Brother Dykus's mind when that was going on, but I'm so glad it did. Good to have you with us. Good to be able to sing these beautiful, beautiful songs together. I was sitting there nearly freezing to death with chills from the first song to the last, singing praises to God. What a blessing it is. I'm glad we don't have any instruments except the one in our throat. Thank you all for coming. Some of you have come from other states, and my brother said I'm from the state of confusion, but we're glad to have you all, and sure appreciate you making the effort to come this afternoon. Many other things you could be doing, but you've chosen to be here with us. Very familiar reading, Luke, the 15th chapter, verses 11 through 16. You know what story we're interrupting, don't you? Then he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided them to his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal or wasteful living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. Tonight we're going to be looking at a very familiar story, but in a different way. Why not be a prodigal son? Why shouldn't you be a prodigal son? Well, you say, well, this one ended pretty well. But not all of them do they? Not all of them do. Not all of them have the loving father that this prodigal son had. And by the way, I think this is a poor representation of what that son would have looked like when he came back home. He was a refugee. He was without country. He was without friend. He was without food. He was without clothing. Totally. But I think the picture of the father coming running to him is depicted truthfully, as we shall see at the end. Larry and I were talking this morning about some stories bringing tears to your eyes. And folks, this one does. Along with so many, if you're reading and meditating upon what you're reading in the Word of God, so many of God's words to us ought to bring tears to our eyes. The prodigal son, before he left home, he no doubt had some thoughts. He had to be sick of home, didn't he? To leave? How many teenagers have thought, this is not for me. My dad, my mom, they don't know what they're talking about. I'm fed up with all of this. So he was just sick and tired of home. He took for granted his position in life. How good he had it. No, he was like Eve. He was looking at one thing. Getting away. His father's love, his father's care, his father's concern, his father's protection. All of those things, they were out the window. He wasn't thinking about it anymore. Ever heard this? I want to do my own thing. Well, Dr. Phil, I used to watch him years ago. What was the question he'd ask? How's that working out for you? And later in this story, we could ask the prodigal son, how's it working out for you, boy? Mr. Know-it-all? Oh, he wanted to find himself, you know. He'd seen enough. He didn't want to stay around home. He wanted to make his own decision. You don't want people telling him what to do. That's what we hear a lot. You ever heard this? Hey, You only go once around in life. Live it with all the gusto you can. That's even on commercials. Grab it now or you'll lose it. People say God doesn't want you to have any fun. And this idea came out. No rules. I may have mentioned the last time I was here, Judy and I were in the bus station. I think it was Indianapolis. We were sitting there and we watched this about 12 or 13-year-old boy come walking by in a white T-shirt. It had a black circle with a red line across it, and under the red line was rules. What was he saying? No rules. And I leaned over and I asked Miss Judy, I said, you imagine he'd mind if I walked up behind him with a baseball bat and popped him in the head a couple times? If he saw me coming, he'd say, whoa, you can't do that. Well, what's your shirt say? No rules. Since there's no rules, then I can do whatever I good and well please. People think, well, I don't want any rules anymore. I'm sick and tired of rules. My brother said he thought his middle name was No. Larry No. And I learned from that. I was always glad I had an older brother. But would you get tired of the rules? And that's what this old boy did, didn't he? Or just this once. I want to see what it's like on the other side of this fence. My daddy doesn't love me. He won't let me do anything. My friends are out there having a ball, and here I'm stuck behind his rules. And I'm going to just try it just once. Oh, yeah. And everybody's doing it. And you know what that means? Maybe you've got a friend or two that's out there doing it. But you're trying to convince your parents or whoever it is that's taking care of you that everybody's doing it. It can't be wrong. Well, everybody did what they did back in the days of Noah, and what happened to them? How'd that work out for them? Or nobody will get hurt. That's a lie of the devil, isn't it? Oh, yeah, just your family, just your brothers, just your sisters, just your mother, just your dad, just your aunts, just your uncles, just your grandparents, just all of your friends, not to mention the church. But other than that, yeah, nobody's going to get hurt. Or I won't get caught. I'm going to go away and I'm going to do something that I'm not allowed to do and I won't get caught. You ever been to jail? You ever been inside? And I don't mean locked up. I think that's a good thing to do. We took our kids to a jail one time and had them go to a cell and lock the door. What it's like to live in there, in that little man cave. And you eat when they tell you to eat. You go to sleep when they tell you to go to sleep. You take a shower when they tell you to take a shower. You go outside when they tell you to go outside. And when they say, look at me, they mean look at me. When they say, turn right, you better turn right. But I won't get caught. We don't have enough jails to take care of all the people that are in jail now. They're overcrowded. But from people who said, I won't get caught. Oh, yeah. This has been popular, hasn't it, for years? It's my body, particularly in the abortion situation. Now look where we are, folks. It's been all horrible since 1973. We've been killing 4,000 or 5,000 babies a day. It's called the silent scream because you cannot hear that little child being ripped apart or burned to death by saline solution. You need to pay attention. You need to educate yourself and your children and your grandchildren and on down the line. Let them see what a partial birth abortion is. It's my life. I don't know how long God's going to put up with this. He doesn't put up with sin forever. He is long-suffering, but he is not a fool. Who's going to find out? I'll tell you, everybody. A friend of mine who left his wife, was unfaithful to her, He said, every time I meet some old friends, he said, I wonder if they know. And you know what he said? Yes, they do. Yes, they do. And he now lives in what he calls his third story storage unit, all by his lonesome. Who's going to find out? Lose your job, lose your family. You ever heard this? Nobody's going to tell me. Well, John tells us in 1 John 2:15, love not the world. You know why he told us to do that? Because we can. Because we can. We can love the world and its beauties and its pleasures more than we love God. And he said, you be careful. It doesn't mean we can't enjoy, have pleasures in this life that are right and good. But you be watchful for the devil and his ploys. Nobody's going to tell me how to dress. You know, back, what was it, in the 70s with this grunge look? I said, some of these kids needed was a red nose. They looked like Emmett Kelly the clown. Come in, dress stars and stripes forever, stripes, pants, stripes, all different colors. You know, they said, nobody's telling me how to dress. Yeah, they were. You were just dressing just like the others. Nobody's going to tell me how to dress. Oh, yeah. Yeah, they are. Nobody's going to tell me what I can watch. I'm sick and tired of it. They don't know what their parents are trying to save them from, do they? The addiction of pornography, you think that's not bad? Everything in this world that has created, man creates a lot of good things. Medicines. People use it for bad. The radio. I remember as a little bitty boy hearing the Lone Ranger on radio and other great stories. And then as I grew up and began to understand, they had what they called soap operas. And then preachers began to say, you don't need to be listening to that. They jumped from radio to television. Did they get cleaned up, these soap operas? Isn't that a misnomer? Soap, usually the clean. No, it was filth, wasn't it? Filth operas. But he's going to tell me, I can watch what I good and well want to, yeah? Yeah, you can. But let me know how that works out for you. Or where I can go. Mom, Dad, you're not telling me where I can go. I'll come home when I want to come home. Give me the keys. I've heard that. Parents not parenting. Or what I can do. Where I can go, what I can do, what I can watch, how to dress. And your heart becomes seared as with a hot iron. What grows where on a brand, where an animal's been branded? Anything grow there, Andre? Nuh-uh. Nothing. Nothing grows there. Seared with a hot iron. And children's minds, young people, yours and mine as well, can be seared with this hot iron. Why not be a prodigal? Some die in that far country. They go off like that young man did into that far country. Some are accidentally killed. Shame, shame. Some because of violence. I had a cousin about 40. Oh, I don't know. I'm longer than that now. You know where his last moments were? In a bar. Somebody stuck a 9-inch knife in his stomach. He was pronounced dead at the scene. Nobody was going to tell him what he could do. Parents, members of the church. Nobody's going to get hurt, though. You think they don't remember that? Shake your head this way. Yes, they do. Yes, they do. Some by suicide. So depressed. So distraught. Look what I have done. I had it all, but I chose to leave it all and to go where the greener pastures were. And now I'm so addicted to this or to that, or I have an STD. 20 years ago, did you know what an STD was? I thought it was some kind of motor oil that or something you put in your car. Maybe that was STP. 50 of them, half of them you can't be cured of. It's my body. It's my choice. Dying in a hospital. Sin takes you farther than you wanted to go and keeps you longer than you wanted to stay. Just this once becomes just this twice, just this three times, just this 20th time, just this forever. Just this every day, every moment. Young people have killed their mothers and their fathers to get money, thinking they were going to get away with it, to support their habit that they just wanted to do just once. Just once. Sin costs you more than you want to pay. And that song that says, "Oh, the years in sinning wasted, could I but recall them now?" No, you can't. You do not get a do-over. You cannot delete that part of your life and say, "That never happened. I'm going to get a start over." No, you don't. No, you don't. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Don't you dare look down your nose at God, Paul says. Well, I know what he said, but hey, it won't get me. You're wiser than God? Let me ask you in a few years or maybe a few weeks, how's that working out for you? I can tell you how it's going to work out. It will not be pretty for you or for anybody you're related to. Why not be a prodigal? Because Satan blinds your mind. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4. He's the god of this world, and he will blind you to what is real, what is true. He will blind you with the pleasures of sin. If I sat here and told you that sin was not didn't have pleasures, you say, "Well, you're a liar." Moses chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. That's what your life is. It's brief. Young people, I used to be young like you. Yes. I once was a little boy. No lines in my face, all the hair on my head. As David told Solomon, "I once was young, but now I'm old." 70's not really middle age, is it? I've pushed that as far as I can go, but I think I have to admit I'm a little bit past middle age. Pleasures of sin that the devil puts out there. What did he do to Eve? Did he lie to her? He lied to you. And then when the consequences come, and they will just keep on coming, he will have no pity, no sympathy for you. "Oh, I think I've hurt her enough. I think she's learned her lesson." And oh, no. Oh, no. You try to seek your way back, he's going to come down even harder on you. That's what he'll do. That's your friend, the devil, that you chose to follow. Sin deceives, as we said back in Galatians. The Hebrew writer in chapter 3 says the same thing. Be not deceived. You can be deceived. That's why he tells us not to be deceived. And we mentioned earlier our conscience being seared. You do something over and over and over, your conscience will no longer prick you. It's like a blister on your hand. Your hand gets toughened to it. And what used to bother you, make your hand hurt, doesn't anymore. Same way with your conscience. Just forget what God says and do what you good and well please. You know what Proverbs 16:18 says? Many times we say, well, pride goes before a fall. Close. Pride goeth before destruction. That's what pride does. Pride will destroy you. It will bring you down. We said, I think this morning, whatever brings you up can bring you down. It may be your good looks. It may be your ability to sing. It may be your ability to play an instrument. It may be your ability to play sports. It may be your ability to make money. Watch them. It can also bring you down. Pride goeth before destruction. We symbolize it, somebody drowning in a rainstorm because they're so proud. They got their nose up in the air and they're tripping over things they should have seen. But pride won't let you. Some want to return. Some prodigals want to return, but are not able. Has anybody's family in here escaped alcoholism? Mine hadn't. Mm-mm. Still tempts people in my family. How about yours? Two uncles died in their late 40s. Literally drank themselves to death. Both of my uncles, my mother's brothers, grieved her to death. And we saw the homes that they lived in, if you can call them homes. One had five or six little children. It was pitiful. You talk about poor. They had drank themselves into poverty. My mom and dad went out east and found two other of my little cousins. And as soon as they pulled up into the driveway, my little 10, 12-year-old cousin ran out to their car and said in tears, "Uncle Cecil, get us out of here." And they did. Can you imagine your little one saying that, running out? "Get me away from here." Mm-hmm. See, everybody doesn't return from the better side that they chose, they thought. Hooked on drugs that we mentioned earlier. You talk about a death sentence. Alcohol or drugs, either one. They had a problem back then, and we've got it today. Don't try it. I'll tell you a way not to get hooked on drugs is never take them. Somebody hands you something like that, I want you to smoke it, put it in your veins. Mm-mm. Not going to happen. You be smarter than that. And don't succumb to peer pressure. You will be tested, young people. You are going to be tested. Not maybe here right now, tonight, but someday in your life, somebody will come to you. You will be with your friends in that faraway country. Here, we know you don't drink, but here. We know you don't smoke, but here, be with you. You want to stay with us? You do this. Mark it down. And if you do succumb, my mother would say, "Don't come crying to me." My dad said, "If you get put in jail, don't make the phone call here. I will not come." And he meant it. Get involved in crime, you get with the wrong group. I'm telling you, we need to look our teenagers in the eye. My son, if sinners entice thee, Proverbs 1 and verse 10, if sinners entice thee, what? Consent thou not. What does entice mean? They lure you like a worm to a fish. That looks like an outback steakhouse steak to a fish. Did you know that? However you like it cooked. Ready, just right there. And the devil says, take hold. You're going to enjoy this. Get involved. Our son used to work in a department store, sold clothing and a bunch of other stuff in a bad part of Indianapolis. He said this 12 or 13-year-old boy came in with jewelry. It looked like a Mr. T starter kit. You know who I'm talking about? Some of us a little older. Chains all around. He had a wad of money. Not ones. 20s. Paying for his stuff. 12 or 13. Where did you get that? I wonder where that boy is now. If he's alive. Get hooked on crime. Come on, go with us. Be with us. Oh, you want to work at McDonald's, and you want fries with that. You see my car outside? See that new Corvette outside? You can have one, too. Wow. Really? You want to come see my apartment? Wow. Look at this place. Wow. And I can have that, too? Yeah. Okay. What does 1 Corinthians 15:33 said? Be not deceived. Evil companions do what? Oh, it won't bother me. I can stand. Really? Really? When it's just you and him? Or you and them? In Proverbs 1, again, he says, they say, come be with us. Enjoy. You better enjoy every second because the consequences are going to come. Or addicted to immorality. Is this plain? It better be plain, hadn't it? We can't beat around the bush. Don't go sin. Can we just? I could have just said that and not mentioned any of these things. Young people, don't sin. Okay, be good. And don't say, nobody ever told me. Yeah, they did. You just didn't listen. Get involved in an unscriptural marriage. I've had people who are not members of the church studying with them about marriage and knowing that they have their kids and then his kids and her kids. And he's been married 3 times and she's been married 4 times. And they read these passages that the Lord gives us, and they say, then we shouldn't be married. I said, who made that decision for you? They said, these passages here. Yeah. I let them make that decision. People fall in lust, don't they? Don't know what love is. TV, movies, and books are the ruin. Why not be a prodigal? Because all fathers won't forgive like ours does. Many have begged, but not allowed to. Many have lost their entire family. And you know what? George Jones, I think it was, about 40 years ago, sang a song, I'm living with the choices I've made. And so are you, aren't you? Are you living with the choices you've made? Shake your head this way. If they're good choices, great. Yes. I studied hard in school. I made good grades. And I was able to get scholarships. Yeah, those are good. Living with the choices you made. Good choices. Our daughter Tina has 4 children. And when they were in school, every day before they went out the door, their little ears heard 3 words. Make good choices. Make good choices. Every single day through grade school, through high school. It only takes one bad choice, doesn't it? Sure does. Devil doesn't care. You live with the choices you've made. will lose your children, your grandchildren. That won't have anything to do with you. Mm-mm. Hank Williams wrote a song 100 years ago. This is the title. Want to enjoy that? I can tell you, no, you do not. Even though they return, still must live with the memories and the scars. Have trouble forgiving themselves. Yeah. David said in Psalm 51 and verse 3, my sin is ever before me. Did he forget what he and Bathsheba did? And what led to Uriah's death? And the baby's death? My sin is ever before me. Friends and neighbors may not forgive. Look, boy, we know what you did to your mother, your father. When you left, that broke their heart, and your mother passed away with a broken heart, never to see you again. Mm-mm. I'll tell you what, parents won't want a boy like that or a girl like that dating their son or daughter. Mm-mm. No. No. Must live with the paranoia. Again, like we said earlier, you reckon anybody knows? Reckon they know? God told David, what you did in secret. But he said, I'm going to let everybody know. And here we are thousands of years later, and yet, what do we know? Exactly what David did. Why not be a prodigal? We ask, do they know what I've done? Yeah, everybody knows. Sure do. He sees the pain and the heartbreak that he's caused. Ungetoverable. You talk about sleepless nights. You can save yourself from all these consequences if you will listen. If you don't, and the consequences start coming, just remember that question. How's that working out for you? Can you say, nobody ever told me? No. No. Some, not just sorry you got caught, but be like the prodigal son. Have godly sorrow. Return. As we pray so often before, it is everlastingly too late, and it can be. Peter said in Acts chapter 3, to those Jews, repent and turn. One pro basketball player became a coach for the NBA. And they said, Jason, I think was his first name. When he got to the new town, they said, well, what do you want to do with the new team? He said, I want to have them make a 360. What? You're right back where you are. 360 is right where he meant a 180. Meant go the other way. And that's what you have to do when you repent. And I've heard preachers preach lessons on repentance and call it the hardest command to obey. To lose that pride and to say, remember, so again, I'm showing my age, kids. Fonzarelli used to say on Happy Days, was it? He couldn't say, I'm sorry. But we need to repent and turn. And we need to listen to Jesus. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. If you see you're going in the wrong direction, don't keep digging a deeper hole. Okay? Come to Jesus. Get out of the hog lot. That passage in 2 Peter is where the dog returns to his vomit. Oh, we just ate. God put that in there for us to ignore? No. You've all probably seen that, haven't you? A dog returning to his own. I can take you to my uncle's farm, right to the spot on his farm, right by his driveway, right across from the white fence. That's what a Christian is when he or she turns away from the Lord and goes to that far country. Or the sow that was washed to the wallowing in the mire. Now, I like that one. That's a whole lot better than that dog returning to his own vomit. You don't know what mire is, do you? I worked a month one week in a hog lot, wiring their buildings for them. And it must have been the summer like this one, because we were knee-deep in mire. And that reminds me every time I see that passage, every time I think about that passage, the sow that was washed to her wallowing. Oh, man! We need to burn that into our minds when we think about leaving the Lord, because that's where we're heading, to the hog lot, to our own vomit. Last of all, just look at the Father that warns us, that loves us. How much did he love us? And what do we say? How much did Jesus love us? One last passage. Verse 20, Luke 15. He had his speech all planned, the prodigal son did. And he arose and came to his father. But when his father was still a great way off. Picture that. You've read this 100 times, haven't you? He arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off. You ever been looking for somebody? You know their walk. Our grandchildren in Walmart, their clue is, look for the lady with the white perm. When that boy was just coming over the horizon, I've got my own picture of that in my mind. The father sitting on the front porch. I've got him in a rocking chair, looking over the horizon down the road. Yes. His father saw him and had compassion. See, there's two different things, sympathy and compassion. Sympathy is like the priest and the Levite. Ooh, man, he really got, ooh, wow. Somebody beat the snot out of him. Ooh. See ya. Compassion is what the Good Samaritan did. He stopped. This father had compassion. You know what he could have said? Yeah, I know what he's going to try to do. He's going to try to sneak back in here on the farm. Mm-hmm. That's not going to happen. How long had he been waiting? It evidently had been a long time. He went to that far country. Why? Because he didn't want to be discovered. He didn't want to go next door. Mm-mm. He wanted to go far away. That father had compassion and ran. He got up off of that chair or ran off of that porch or whatever and ran to his son and fell on his neck and kissed him, and literally translated, he kissed him again and again and again. Picture that. Imagine the tears, the happy tears. And the son said to him, Father, he was going to keep his pledge. I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put him on. Why? Because he didn't have any clothing. And put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. And bring the fatted calf here and kill it. And let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Jesus tells us how the angels in heaven rejoice when one sinner repents. Is that you? And I tell you what. You don't have to repent on a Sunday afternoon, Sunday morning, or Wednesday night. You can do it 24/7, anywhere you are, at home, at work, when you come to yourself and you say, Father, I have sinned. I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm not going to be like that anymore. I'm going to fight the good fight of faith. I'm going to lay hold on eternal life. That's what we need to do. How you doing? Do you need to do like the prodigal son? Do you need to obey the Lord? Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come right now, if that is your need, while we stand, Grant, and while we sing.